877-0879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Kurt Haskell. Hi, Kurt. How are we doing?
Hey, good. How are you doing, Dr. Stan?
I'm just fine, thank you. I don't think most of our listeners know who you are, so why don't you just tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself and why you're so concerned?
Sure. Well, I'm an attorney in Michigan. My wife and I are both attorneys. We have a law firm here. And, you know, most people know me for something else, though, and that would be, you know, being a passenger on the Underwear Bomber flight from Christmas Day 09 when I witnessed some things that didn't quite add up to what the government was trying to tell us what really happened. So
well,
most people know me more from that.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about that flight? Because I think most people really don't understand that certainly most of what we've been told about this threat of terrorism really isn't true, and most of this is staged. And obviously, what you witnessed that day suggested that there was something much more to this story. And for the listeners who don't remember, this was a transatlantic flight where just before the plane was ready to set down in the United States, why some young fellow gets up and supposedly he's going to try to set off a bomb and take the plane down. And but the bomb doesn't work and the plane is basically lands. And of course, this is part of our whole idea. Oh, we've got this terrible terrorist threat in America, and we've got to have ever more power for the government, and we've got to have everybody checked when they get on the airplanes and radiated when they get on the airplanes. And we've got to give up certainly our right to your privacy. Everything has to be monitored by government agents to protect us from those wicked terrorists. But is that really the case? Kurt, you pick up the story and tell our listeners what you witnessed that day.
Sure. Well, my wife and I were coming back from an African safari, and we had a connecting flight through Amsterdam. And there weren't two seats together at the airport, so we sat by the gate on the floor and we're playing cards. And I saw what I thought was an African teenager, a younger African guy, who had on just jeans and a white t-shirt. And it was Christmas Day, so it was cold in the middle of winter, and he didn't have a coat or sweaters or anything like anybody else, walking with an older-looking Indian man who looked like he was wealthy, had on a suit. And, you know, they seemed like an odd pair, so I just was people watching, wondering why they're traveling together. I watched them go up to the counter at the gate, and the Indian man did all the talking, and he said, you know, this man needs to board the flight, but he doesn't have a passport. And the girl at the counter said, well, you know, he can't get on the flight without a passport. And the Indian man then said, well, he's from Sudan. We do this all the time, and argued with her for a minute. And then she referred the two of them down a secure hallway where nobody else was allowed, told them they needed to talk to a manager. And they walked down this hallway, and I quit watching at that point. Little did I know, about 8 hours later, as we were coming in to land into Detroit, the same African man would try and blow up our airplane.
And of course, somehow was given permission to get on the plane without a passport. You and I couldn't do that. But of course, this young man would. Who was the Indian man who was with him? Was he a handler of some sort? Why would they take this young man and suddenly put him on the plane when it was obvious that he had a bomb? Did they check him at all? Certainly, they check everybody else when they're getting on a plane. Why was this young man treated differently than others? We'll be back in just a moment here with Kurt Haskell talking about the threat of terrorism.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Kurt simply tells us he gets on the plane. He's seen this young man being turned away at the gate, a young African man, who is with a very, very well-dressed, very well-spoken Indian man. It's obvious this young man doesn't have a passport. He overhears a conversation at the desk there at the airport, and suddenly the woman in charge didn't want to let the young man on, but she had him go see somebody, obviously some sort of an administrator. And that's the last thing Kurt thought of it. He gets onto the plane. They fly across the Atlantic. They're just coming into Detroit, and the pilot announces, you know, everybody take their seats, certainly prepare for landing. And he sees a woman going by, and one of the stewardesses, and she's mumbling, "It smells like smoke." He looks up ahead of them, and four or five rows ahead of them, there's smoke coming up, and suddenly the whole area there bursts into flame. Somebody grabs somebody and drags them out from the hammerlock from the passenger area. down into the first class area, up into the first class area, and then everybody sits down, the plane lands, it sits there for about 30 minutes. There's no, people don't rush off the plane because the flames were put out with a fire extinguisher, and 30 minutes go by, and everybody's just sitting, waiting to see what's happening. The police come on board. Did you see them actually take this young black man away that you'd seen earlier? What actually happened at that point?
Yeah, after about a half an hour, and mind you, they're not checking for accomplices, they're not checking for bombs in the carry-on bags, the police aren't doing anything, they're not even outside of the first class area at this point. And after about a half an hour, this man is put in handcuffs and escorted off the plane. But before he got off, he stood in the doorway for about 20, 30 seconds, and that's when I got a good look at him again, and I thought to myself, holy cow, that's the same guy I saw in Amsterdam. You know, I turned to my wife and I said, look, I think maybe I saw something important back in Amsterdam. I saw this guy before he boarded. And then he was taken off the plane. And then we were all taken off the plane. We were allowed to get our carry-on bag just like any other flight. And we were taken into this baggage claim area that had been evacuated. We were the only people allowed on this particular floor. And, you know, we're told to stand there and wait. You know, we're not allowed to use our phones or have anything to eat or drink or use the bathroom or anything. We're all just standing there. After a while, they bring in bomb-sniffing dogs and take them around all of our carry-on bags. And one of them finds something. One of the dogs sits down, which means he found an explosive. And this was in the bag of another Indian man, much younger one. He had on orange. He's since been called the man in orange. And he was taken off for questioning in a side room. He was in there for like an hour, and then he came out, and then he was handcuffed and taken away. As he was being taken away, the officers came up to the rest of us and said, look, you know, I'm sure you've seen what just happened here. You're not safe in this room. We're going to take you out of here and take you to another room. And then we were escorted out of this room and put into this hallway, where we stood for a few more hours. And then after that, an officer came up to us and said, we have those responsible for this now in custody. Those, not the man or him, you know, those plural. And he said, everyone's required to do an interview with the FBI, and then you'll be free to go. And then we went back into the first room, stood in line, and, you know, we interviewed with the FBI, and that's when I told him the story for the first time.
And what was the response of the man you told the story to about how this young man didn't have a passport, and yet he seemed to have special privileges for getting on the plane? And, of course, I'm sure you described the first Indian man that you'd seen. What was the response of the FBI agent?
Well, at this point, he seemed interested. He actually called over a second officer to listen to the story and take notes. And, you know, they both seemed pretty interested. But that would soon change. And, you know, here I am thinking, you know, I'm an eyewitness to an accomplice to a major terrorist attack. You know, I may be the only one that even saw and heard this conversation in Amsterdam. You know, I'm a key witness here, and I'm thinking I'm helping, you know, helping the police catch this accomplice who now would be one of the most wanted men in the world, I would think. And I think I'm doing a good deed, but, you know, soon found out that wouldn't be the case.
All right. Well, then did they just let you go home? Did they tell you not to say anything about it? What did they tell you?
Nope. They didn't tell me anything. They just said, you know, you're free to go, you know, and if we need something, we'll be in touch.
Okay.
And a few days later, they showed up at my law office, two different FBI officers. This visit was a little different, though. This visit was more of, the officers, I took it as they're trying to confuse me or make me think I didn't see what I did, kind of a visit. No, they didn't bring any pictures or any video from the Amsterdam airport, had me identify the accomplice. They showed me a series of pictures. I didn't know any of the people in the pictures. And, you know, being an attorney, I knew that that's not how you handle an investigation of an eyewitness. The first thing you do is you show them, you know, a picture of the man you witnessed and ask him to identify him. I asked them to do that, and I said, look, show me the video, show me the pictures, I'll point this guy out. And they refused, and actually wouldn't even comment on it at all. You know, the second man that I saw in Amsterdam. And, you know, by this point, the government had already come out and said, you know, we reviewed over, I think they said 200 hours of video from the Amsterdam airport. There's not any accomplices on it. It shows nothing. Yet they refused to release the video. And also they had come out and said, you know, nobody else was arrested at the Detroit airport, which I knew was also a lie. And they would quickly change their story on the man in orange five times. First of all, saying he didn't exist. But with that guy, that story didn't work because everyone on the flight was there with me when he was arrested. So they had to change that story. And then they said, well, yeah, he was arrested, but he was from another flight. You know, and then I came out to the media and I said, look, that's a lie too, because this whole floor had been evacuated and the only people there were people from our flight. And then they changed that story. And then they said, oh yeah, he was arrested on an agricultural violation. And then I came out to a reporter and I said, look, that's not possible either. These are bomb sniffing dogs. He was only arrested after one of them sat down indicating an explosive in his bag. You know, and this went on five times, and eventually the government was talking about this guy, too. So there were some very shady things going on very early, and here I am putting this all together, wondering what's really going on, and why did my flight, you know, almost end up blowing up, and nobody wants to hear about my eyewitness account, and they're lying about these other things, and red flag after red flag's going up with me. And at this point, I started conducting my own investigation.
All right, and what did you find when you did your own investigation?
Well, my investigation lasted almost 2 years. And what I did is I started talking to passengers. I started talking to people in the media. Many of them became my friends. They would give me inside information. And I started reading every news report on the case, watching every TV video of it, you know, going to all the hearings, talking to his standby attorney, who became my friend. And eventually, after putting about 2,000 hours of my own time into it, I discovered that the bomber was put on the plane on purpose with a bomb that lacked a detonator given to him by an undercover federal government agent.
And basically, this whole thing was then carefully staged for the psychological impact on the American people. Would that be a fair assessment?
Well, there are many reasons for the government to do this. You know, if it simply wanted to catch a terrorist, then you give him a bomb that's not going to detonate, and you arrest him as he attempts to board. You know, that's all you need for an attempted bombing, attempted terrorist attack, you know, is that there is an effort to go on the plane. But the government, you know, wanted to make a big splash with this case and propagandize it as much as it could. And to do that, it would need to have a fake terrorist attack in a plane over the skies of the United States on a major holiday, which is what it got. You know, a fake terrorist attack as the plane's coming into land in Detroit on Christmas afternoon. That's what it wanted. So it could use it to the best effect to propagandize the war on terror, get body scanning machines in the airport, Renew the Patriot Act, et cetera, et cetera. Had many goals with this fake attack.
And my understanding is that this young man, of course, was going to defend himself, and he actually, didn't he actually subpoena you as a witness, and then he suddenly pleads guilty and you're not called? What was that all about?
Yeah, there are many shady things that went on with the hearings in the case, too. You know, I went to nearly all the hearings, but you're right. You know, I'd been talking to his standby attorney. He fired his regular attorneys and was appointed this standby attorney, which is basically a helper, someone to help you with paperwork and answer your questions. And I'd become friends with the standby attorney, and, you know, we would talk about this case, and, you know, he agreed with my take on the case completely. And, you know, the government's own experts, explosives experts that hired to testify as experts, even indicated that the bomb could not have blown up because it lacked a detonator. I mean, the evidence was that flabby in this case, which is why the government could not have a full trial in the case. And the bomber did say he would be calling me not only as his expert witness, but as his only witness in the case.
Now, what sort of a sentence did he get after he pleaded guilty?
He pleaded guilty to a mandatory life sentence with no chance of parole, which any attorney knows never, ever happens, especially with someone that was not, who did not have the death penalty on the table.
And so basically, this whole thing has certainly not been told. But it's sort of like the shoe bomber. I don't know how many people remember the shoe bomber. But of course, he was supposed to light the fuse to the bomb in his shoe, but there was no detonator. There was no way you could set, at least no way you could set that off without a detonator. These are all phony, ladies and gentlemen. All for your benefit.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000. 405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
You already know that calcium is important. But did you know that calcium cannot be absorbed without magnesium? That's a fact. And the calcium that isn't absorbed calcifies your soft muscle tissues. Haven't you ever wondered what's really causing all your muscle aches? I'm Pat Sullivan, the founder of Jigsaw Health. I created Jigsaw Magnesium with SRT to solve my own magnesium deficiency problems. You see, magnesium helps people feel younger because magnesium keeps the soft tissues from calcifying. This helps you sleep better at night and feel more energized during the day. Call 888-352-5050 and we'll explain why Jigsaw Magnesium with sustained release technology is so much better than any drugstore magnesium supplement. Mention this radio ad and receive $5 off your order. 888-352-5050. JigsawMagnesium.com.
Just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Kurt actually talked to the young man's standby attorney, and the standby attorney told him a year before the trial that the government had offered very lenient terms. Certainly, they just wanted the case to go away. They were willing to let him off if he'd plead guilty, and they were going to give him very, very good terms instead of that. Why, this young man pleads guilty and gets mandatory life without a possibility of parole. Why would anybody in their right mind forego an opportunity for a plea bargain with very light sentence to take one with mandatory parole with no possibility of parole? The whole situation doesn't make sense. Now, remember the bombing, this supposed bombing, where this government had given this young man a bomb, but it didn't have a detonator in it. I'm sure that he was going to blow up the plane. He didn't understand the bomb couldn't possibly go off. But of course, this whole thing was staged. And of course, the question is, why did they do that? Well, they're trying to convince us, ladies and gentlemen, that the war on terror is real. That's exactly why we had the shoe bomber, you know, a man who was supposed to ignite the bombs in his shoes by lighting a fuse, but the trouble was those bombs couldn't go off because, of course, there was no detonator, and you can't light C4 explosives with a lit fuse. That's not how you set them off. And so basically the people who designed the shoes, gave them to the shoe bomber, knew that. The people who gave the underwear bomber, the underwear with a bomb in it, knew it wouldn't go off. But they're not going to tell the American people that, because you're supposed to believe there's a great threat of terrorism out there. And that's why we need to spend $40 billion a year on the Office of Homeland Security. And we need to have informants all across America reporting to the FBI on everything you might say. And we have to have the cameras on every corner, and everybody has to have a number and cards. And we have to have fusion centers where they correlate all your dossiers. And the Office of Homeland Security has to collect the dossier, the CIA, the FBI. Certainly DARPA has a dossier on you, and of course everything you do and everything you say is listened to under Project Echelon. That is Echelon. Go up on the internet and look it up, and you'll find it's real. They listen to every telephone conversation. Of course, they were doing that long before the phony war on terrorism, but of course they can't let you know that this is all is moving towards a police state in America as we move towards the one world government. But they listen to your telephone conversations, they record your emails, they record your faxes, and they're all permanently recorded. In fact, they were even, of course, recording everything that General Petraeus said, and he was a 4-star Army general and the director of the CIA, and they were monitoring everything he was doing. They monitor, if you think you're insignificant, but of course here's a very important person, and they're monitoring him very closely. They know every sordid detail about his affair with the woman who had written a biography about him. Well, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, I guess, is Kurt Haskell. Well, Kurt, what's happened since that time? Has anything else happened? Are you still being called and asked to be on programs to talk about this? Or what else have you learned since then?
Well, yeah, actually, I still get calls to be on shows because it's such a big story and so underreported. It's so backed up by the evidence, too. So, yeah, actually, I do still get calls from people, you know, who want to talk about this. You know, there's a whole lot more to it than what we've even covered today. There's a whole lot more supporting evidence.
Well, can you get into that? We'd love to have you get into what else you've described. Go right ahead, and I'll be
sure. Yeah. You know, I spent 2 years collecting evidence on this, so I have quite a mound of evidence. I'll just hit a few of the points here. There was a story by the News Herald Scotland, which has since been erased off the internet, but I have the article printed out, where that paper indicated that the underwear bomber did not show his passport in Amsterdam. And what's interesting about that is the passport check line and the security check line in Amsterdam are the same line. So when that paper indicated that he didn't show his passport, that was the same as admitting he didn't go through security at all in Amsterdam. And how did he do that? Well, the most logical reason is the man in the tan suit escorted him around it. Now, I didn't see that, but when I saw them, they were coming from that general direction. So I'm quite sure that's probably what happened there. Now, there were hearings in Congress about this, too, in 2010. And some interesting things came out of those hearings. And you can watch the YouTube video of the hearings. It's on YouTube. Just look for Patrick Kennedy, you know, an underwear bomber testimony. Patrick Kennedy worked at the State Department in the United States. And what he said was, yeah, we knew the underwear bomber was a terrorist. And we put him on that plane on purpose.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4-6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Kurt Haskell, and this is the story of the underwear bomber. And, of course, there was the testimony of Patrick Kennedy, which, of course, you common people out there in the audience probably never heard of him. But was Patrick actually a State Department official? Who did Patrick work for?
That's correct. He was a State Department official.
And where did he give this testimony? Do you recall?
He gave it in Congress.
Okay, fine. And so basically, what did Patrick Kennedy say about certainly the bombing?
Here's what he said. He said, we knew the underwear bomber was a terrorist before the flight, and we allowed him on the plane on purpose to track him into the United States and with the hopes that we would track him in the U.S. To other terrorists, and, you know, we would arrest them then. And but then he said, you know, there's a lot more to it, and we need to talk about the rest in closed session. Well, that was partially true. They did allow him on the plane on purpose, but what I knew from a a reporter I became friends with who confided in me. She told me that there were, in fact, 200 FBI agents waiting at the airport for a plane to land. Now, mind you, this attack occurred within 10 minutes of us landing at noon on Christmas Day at an airport 20 minutes outside of Detroit. So it would have been impossible for all those FBI agents to get to the airport if they did not know something ahead of time. So the plan, in fact, was not to track him because those agents would not have been at the airport to question him upon landing. So Patrick Kennedy's testimony was only partially true. It was a cover-up for what the real story was, which is what I'm telling you.
Now, of course, the thing is that they endangered the life of everybody on that plane by allowing a fire to get started. You never know if fire starts, how far it might go.
That's correct. And actually, the fire was burning right above our gas tank. Not only that, but it caused our pilot to do, you know, a very risky emergency landing into Detroit. But how the government looks at it is, well, oh, this is a bomb that lacks a detonator. It's fine. You know, there's really no risk here. But, you know, not only was there risk, but I can't tell you how much emotional trauma that causes you when you witness something like this at an altitude of 20,000 feet and you think you're going to die.
Well, I don't think that the government officials are really very concerned about how people feel. I don't think they'd be really concerned whether a lot of people are killed. I think we've seen instances. They killed a million people in Iraq over a war that was fought because of weapons of mass destruction that never existed, and nobody's ever held responsible for killing a million people. That is a horrible war crime. Somebody, one person dies, why? Where it's consumed with grief, one child dies, how many hundreds, tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of children died in Iraq, and nobody really cares. Well, let's go to Barbara, who's calling us from Aptos, California. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But it would appear that the people who really are running this whole war on terror are much more interested in frightening the American people than and the possible loss of the lives of a couple of hundred people on an airplane. Barbara, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I've always been wondered about this. You know, was this young man, occurred after seeing this young man, do you think he had any knowledge or any ideas that he was being set up, or if that possibility, did he have any concept of the fact that the possibility that he was going to blow himself up as well as the people on the plane if this had worked?
I was having a hard time hearing you. Question was, was there any possibility he could blow himself up? Question?
My question was, you know, did he possibly have any idea that he was being set up, or was there any idea whether he had any reason why he would even consider blowing himself up on that plane?
I can't say I'm sure, but I think he is actually a crazy terrorist, but I'm not sure, and this is the reason I'm not sure. You know, he hardly ever talked to a standby attorney during the almost 2 years of this case. I know most of the information his standby attorney got on the case came from me. You know, I would ask him just basic things that he should know, you know, from his own client, and he wouldn't know them. So he was hiding information from his own standby attorney. And when I was called to be a witness, I was concerned, and I went up to his standby attorney, and I said, look, I want to make sure that he's not calling me to the stand to humiliate me and look stupid, you know, and ask me questions that just support the government's version of this case, because frankly, I'm not 100% sure that he's not in on it too. And, you know, we're almost 2 years into the case here, and I'm expecting his standby attorney to say, you know, you have nothing to worry about there, you know, he's not in on it. But his answer was pretty strange. What his answer was, you know, if I find anything like that out, I'll let you know. So to me, that told me that even his standby attorney wasn't sure almost 2 years into the case if he was in on it too. So very strange.
Okay, anything else, Barbara?
No, it just really was because of, you know, just looking at all of the, you know, the evidence in it, as what we saw on television, what we were allowed to see, was that he did not seem to be I'm that bright of a young man. And, you know, that was just, I was kind of wondering, you know, if he was just being used or what was going on. But, you know, you pretty much answered the question, and that was, you know, it helps an awful lot.
Okay, fine. Thank you so much, Barbara. Okay, fine. Let's, of course, go then to Mike, who's calling us from Flint, Michigan. Hi, Mike. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah. At the time, I was really busy when all that went on, and it seemed like there was a lot going on at that time, and there was like two or three terrorist things that went on, and
we had the shoe bearer bomber, and then we had the underwear bomber about a couple of years apart. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, I'm asking it right now. So we had this, you know, it seemed like there was two or three, terrorist things going on. Now, all of a sudden, there was in Detroit where they had this bomber, and they stopped it, and they caught him, too, and nothing ever happened. So the question is, it looks like that, you know, this is all orchestrated where they were protecting us, and they were doing the, you know, taking care of us, and they were stopping all this stuff. So what do you think, you know, why would they have to do all that to trick us into believing that they're protecting us? And what do you think they're really up to? Well, you know, to covering their tracks on the buildings in New York?
Let's get our guests a response. So how would you respond to Mike's question there?
Sure. You have to go back to December 2009. There were no terrorist attacks at all from 2001 to 2009. Okay, that's number one. So remember all the people that make their living on the war on terror. There's a whole lot of money that flows to people due to the war on terror. You know, and if we don't have terrorist attacks, we don't have a war on terror. We don't have war on terror. These people don't have their jobs. They don't have their businesses selling devices to the U.S. government to be used in the war on terror, like the body scanning machines. So that's number one, to keep the war on terror going. Number two, there was a bill that had already passed the House of Representatives and was up for a vote in the Senate. And the bill was this. It was to ban body scanning machines from the airports, except if you first set off the metal detector, then you could go through a body scanning machine. So you keep that in mind, and also keep in mind Michael Chertoff, the former head of Department of Homeland Security, is heavily involved in the companies that sell the body scanning machines. So there's that also. Then there's the vote to renew the Patriot Act that came up for vote in early December 2009, just a couple weeks before this event. And Hillary Clinton is on record stating, look, we don't have the votes yet to pass a renewal of the Patriot Act. We need to put this vote off until, you know, a couple months. And they put the vote off until February 2010, and look what happens in the meantime. We have the underwear bomber case, and of course, the Patriot Act gets renewed easily in February 2010. The bill to ban the body scanning machines from the airports gets struck down by the Senate. We have body scanning machines everywhere. We have an excuse to implement all these procedures and spend much more money on the war on terror, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You can see how all this plays in together.
And I think the most important thing is they wanted to get the Patriot Act through because they want to monitor the American people. They want to set up a police state here to protect our freedom is what it's about. Thanks so much for calling, Mike. And
yeah, I got one more thing, Doc.
I say, well, we've got, let's go to Marcus calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Marcus. You have a question or comment?
Yeah, I got a comment. I'm from Brazil, and last 4 months, I was in Brazil, and I went with my passport to the airport, and for my surprise, my passport was expired, but I've been here for 26 years in the USA, and I'm a citizen, and I tried my best to get into the plane, and I couldn't get into the plane, sir. I don't know how in the hell those guys...
Well, basically, Marcus, they had very powerful friends. Obviously, this was a government operation. And as Curtis said, a State Department official said, we knew this man was a terrorist. We put him on the plane. Am I quoting you correctly, Kurt? Or did we put him on, or did we let him get on the plane? What did he actually say?
Well, I don't know what the exact words were, but the testimony was, they knew he was a terrorist, and they wanted to track him into the U.S. to follow him and catch more terrorists. Now, it was something, the testimony was something like that, but obviously to track him in the U.S., you're allowing him into the U.S. So now, you know he's a terrorist, you're allowing him on a plane.
Now, did you say that they'd pulled this article down, or is this part of the information you can get on the Internet?
The congressional testimony you can watch on YouTube. There's video of it.
Oh,
but if you're watching the testimony of Patrick Kennedy, you have to watch the correct one. Because after he made this testimony, apparently the government didn't like it. They had him go testify before Congress a week later, and this time his testimony changed. So you have to make sure you watch the correct Patrick Kennedy video.
Okay, Marcus, does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, that's, you know, it looks like Brazil got a lot of crooked in the government. And right here, unbelievable for the first world country, we have to deal with this kind of people, you know.
Okay, God bless, Mark. Marcus, thank you so much for calling. And let's go to a John who's calling from Detroit, Michigan, where the plane landed that day, back there in 2009. John, do you have a question?
I think it's a mistake. I'm in Spokane, Washington.
Well, you're in Spokane, Washington. Well, then basically they put you down in the wrong city. So do you have a question or comment?
I have two questions. First question is, I had heard somewhere that this person was either crazed, drugged, out of it, perhaps mind controlled. Is there any truth to that at the time when he was at the airport?
You know, not when I saw him in Amsterdam. He was nervous. He was fidgety. He was moving his legs around and kind of swinging his arms and that kind of thing. So not then. Now, on the plane, you know, I wasn't close enough to see his emotions, but, you know, this is a guy that let his private parts on fire and basically burned them off and was silent, didn't make a peep, and didn't fight the guy that ran up and put him in a headlock. So I don't know what to make out of that. I don't know any male that can light his private parts on fire and basically burn them off and not make a peep.
Okay,
okay,
John.
And what about
maybe
later?
Had some medicine into him at that time. We don't know, John. Anything else? You had another question.
Kurt, did you ever see him? Did you actually see him come face to face with him later, like at any time? And was he? Did he look like he was coherent and aware of what exactly his circumstances were?
Which time period are you asking about?
Oh, any time after that, for example, like whether it's at the courts or with the
I saw him in court many, many times. I went to nearly all of the hearings, and there were probably greater than 10 hearings. You know, and many times I was only a couple feet away from him. So, yeah, I saw him many times, and he looked like he was coherent. He wasn't very smart, you know, and he didn't have a good grasp of the English language. But what was kind of strange in the later hearings as the trial approached, he would do, I saw him many times, and he was always very polite to the judge and, you know, and cooperative. But as hearings got closer to the trial, it's like he became a different person. He would walk into the courtroom and yell like, the U.S. Americans are infidels and they will go to hell and, you know, very inflammatory things. And it was kind of like a Jekyll and Hyde person. So I don't know what to make out of that. And of course,
could be a mind
control
situation.
The strange thing about the press is in the paper the next day, they would just report about these outbursts, but they wouldn't report, you know, very legitimate things that happened during the hearings that I thought would be big stories. Like, there was one hearing, I'll just give an example. The prosecutors asked that the standby attorney not have access to any of the evidence. And the standby attorney says, well, how can I advise this man of his rights if I can't even see what evidence there is against him? And the prosecutor said, well, this standby attorney is not a real attorney, so he doesn't have attorney-client privilege to protect the information. Therefore, passengers can send a subpoena to him, obtain the information, and use it to sue the U.S. government. And here I am in the crowd thinking, why, for what reason would we be able to sue the United States government if we had the evidence? And of course, all these reporters are sitting in the crowd. None of this is ever reported in any newspaper across the country. What's reported instead is underwear bomber makes crazy outbursts as he walks in the courtroom. that kind of thing.
Okay, John, anything else before we let you go?
No, it sounds like a mind control situation to me. But
I think you may very well be right. Anyway, but the government certainly was involved. This is not somebody who's sent over by Osama bin Laden. In fact, of course, we financed Al-Qaeda since its inception, just like we financed the Taliban. And you can go up on the Internet, all sorts of articles about that. But you're never going to see him reported in the controlled media. Hey, thanks so much. Let's go to Chuck, who's calling from Auburn Hills, Michigan. Chuck, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I can prove right now that the government was involved because he's not allowed
to be... How can you prove it?
Let me tell you, he's not allowed to be in the courtroom when he's a potential witness. They're not supposed to be in the courtroom. The judge knows that. And so he's sitting in the courtroom while they're giving testimony, and he could be called as a witness. And so they knew that he was never going to go to a trial and that they had it all handled, and he was never going to be a witness anyway.
Well, what would you say to that, Kurt? Chuck is suggesting that they would not have allowed you in the courtroom if they'd known you were going to be a witness, but you weren't even identified as a witness till the very end. Is that right?
Well, yeah. I'm an attorney, so I deal with this sort of thing all the time. All the hearings I went up to were just pre-trial type hearings. Witnesses are not banned from those hearings. When the trial started, A1, the very first thing that happened in the trial was the judge kicked me out of the courtroom.
That's the background of that, Chuck. But thank you for calling. It's a good point. Appreciate you bringing it out if we could clarify it. Okay, fine. Well, we'll be back in just a moment. Hang on, Kurt. We got just a couple of minutes before we let you go.
Sure.
You already know that calcium is important. But did you know that calcium cannot be absorbed without magnesium? That's a fact. And the calcium that isn't absorbed calcifies your soft muscle tissues. Haven't you ever wondered what's really causing all your muscle aches? I'm Pat Sullivan, the founder of Jigsaw Health. I created Jigsaw Magnesium with SRT to solve my own magnesium deficiency problems. You see, magnesium helps people feel younger because magnesium keeps the soft tissues from calcifying. This helps you sleep better at night and feel more energized during the day. Call 888-352-5050 and we'll explain why Jigsaw Magnesium with sustained release technology is so much better than any drugstore magnesium supplement. Mention this radio ad and receive $5 off your order. 888-352-5050, jigsawmagnesium.com.
What has happened to the judicial system in these United States? From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we've seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. The judicial system was designed to ensure that the laws of the land were just and constrained by our Constitution. Now judges have immunity and cannot be prosecuted when they act outside the law. This must stop. The judicial branch needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. At that website, you can find out what's really going on in this area of lawlessness, and more importantly, you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. JudicialReformNow.com. JudicialReformNow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Kirk was just saying one of the things that really mystified him was the fact that he had so much evidence and going into the background of what really happened with this story of the underwear bomber. He would talk to the reporters, and nothing would happen. They would not pick up the story. And certainly, Kurt, you have to understand what I learned 50 years ago, and that is that the media in America is tightly controlled, and if you want to keep your job, why you do not get anything, many times the real truth, because if you do tell the truth, why you're out of a job and you'll never get another job in the media. That is the reality of what goes on today. I want to thank you very much for being with us. Is there a great deal more to this story that we could cover in another program, do you think?
Yeah, I'd be glad to come back on any time.
God bless you. Thanks so very much. I think it's fascinating, and I hope everybody out there in the listening audience has enjoyed your story of the underwear bomber. God bless. Thanks so much.
No problem. Have a good night.
You too. Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan. We do hope you enjoyed this story, but you see, the war on terrorism is phony, as almost everything else is. And, of course, we've funded war on terrorism. We funded Al-Qaeda from its inception. We're funding Al-Qaeda today. They're the ones, of course, who are over there fighting in Syria. They're the ones who are involved with Libya. Why would we be funding suddenly Al-Qaeda in Egypt and in Tunisia and in Libya and in Syria and fighting Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan? Ladies and gentlemen, there are only actually about 50 members of Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. We have an equivalent of 400,000 or 500,000 people there, European troops, NATO troops, American troops, American contractors, 350,000 Afghan troops and police to fight 50 members of Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. If you doubt what I'm saying, go to your search engine and type in Afghanistan 50 members Al-Qaeda. Afghanistan 50 members of Al-Qaeda. You'll find out I'm telling you the truth. You say this doesn't make sense? Of course it makes sense. If you understand, it's all smoke and mirrors. Most of what you believe is not true. We are not involved in a war on terrorism. We're involved in a war on the American people. The real main purpose of American foreign policy is to bring about a world government. And America has been taken over by a small group of globalists who are part of a secret cabal. And Sidney David Rockefeller admits to that on page 405 of his memoirs. And if you don't have David Rockefeller's memoirs, shame on you. Basically there he talks about how they, referring to the public, often believe that my family, or I and my family, are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, conspiring with others throughout the world to bring about a more integrated global and economic system. And if that's the charge, I am guilty and I'm proud of it. Those are David Rockefeller's words, ladies and gentlemen. The honorary chairman of the Trilateral Commission, the honorary chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations, a permanent member of the Bilderbergers, a small group of people who run the world. Well, let me suggest to you that you need to get my information. Go to our website, radioliberty.com. You can read our newsletters going back 15 years and read the current ones written by our good friend William Grigg. We hope many of you out there want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. The Radio Liberty family of supporters, and get our four best tapes or CDs of the month in our monthly newsletter, or certainly donate to Radio Liberty, or get the tape sets or the CD sets or the DVDs or the books we carry. But you need to have this information, and you need to help us get this information out across America. Freedom is lost when good people do nothing. And believe me, the other side is very well organized. They control certainly the military. They have their people in key positions in the military, and those that they don't control, like General Petraeus, why, they're watching them all the time to get something on them, so they wouldn't dare ever speak out. They control the six major banks that control 70% of the finances of our nation. They control the major corporations, or most of them. They control certainly both political parties, our educational system, our churches, and the six major corporations that control 90% of our media. We are to control today, and they're using our financial and military power to finance the American empire to dominate the world. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty. Let us all be
grateful for a life so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America and that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountain to the prairie to the ocean white with gold.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, of course, hopefully for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. Cass Ingram, who, of course, is into alternative medical care. And, of course, as a physician, trained physician, as a surgeon, I think that some of the things we can do in medicine are amazing. And I saw, during my almost 50 years in medicine, certainly amazing things as we developed new total hips and two total joints and total shoulders and total knee joint replacements that would take somebody who was suffering and relieve their pain. And arthroscopic surgery was certainly an amazing thing. I certainly personally have had an open heart operation with the replacement of my aortic valve. An amazing thing. Amazing things that doctors can do today. But the problem is that we certainly believe that everything that medicine is putting forward is beneficial. And I will tell you, of course, that many things that are being advocated today are very harmful, not because the doctor isn't concerned and not because the doctor doesn't want to do a good job for you, but because the doctors are lied to at their medical meetings, they're lied to by their medical journals, which are dominated by the pharmaceutical company, and they're lied to by their medical organizations. And I know because I fought the medical organization in California for a period of almost 10 years. And I was to get the entire House of Delegates of the California Medical Association behind me and my positions. But it didn't do any good. The people who run medicine don't care what's good for patients. They don't care what's good for the doctors. They have their own agenda. Well, with that as the background, let's get to Dr. Cass Ingram. Good evening, Dr. Ingram. How are you?
Good evening, my friend. I'm doing great. How have you been doing?
I'm doing just fine. Well, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself and what you're really trying to accomplish?
Well, I'm an author of, about 24 books now on herbal medicine and natural cures and so on. But I also am concerned about health freedom and just freedom in general and goodness and decency. And as a physician, I don't like to see a needless deaths, and I don't like to see children with burn holes from depleted uranium, nor do you. And so that kind of led me into the potential for vote rigging and vote manipulation and election rigging to prevent the people's will and to manipulate any opportunity for any decency or honor in our country. And you know that happens routinely here now in the United States, that the people's will means nothing. So
I certainly agree with that. In fact, something disturbed me last night. We have a gentleman who works very closely with us who actually runs homes for elderly people who are invalided. And he is talking about, certainly in the area where he lives and works, why, of course, they very often will take elderly people to the hospital and they will be killed there. Basically, they'll put them on comfort care. Comfort care means we've really got to give you morphine, and we're going to just keep you on morphine or transfer you to the hospice. And in a few days on at morphine, you'll be dead. Now, of course,
yeah, they make that decision.
If you you know, if you have a terminal illness, you might say, well, it's sort of to keep people comfortable. These are people without terminal illnesses.
None of their business to make that decision.
Absolutely not. Over in England today, and you can check this out on the internet, ladies and gentlemen, they routinely kill about 120,000 senior citizens a year.
It's very common there. It's actually more common per capita. Yeah.
Well, of course, over in England, many elderly people are afraid to go to the hospital. But I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's becoming increasingly common here, only probably in the last year or two. And it's becoming very, very prevalent in the name of comfort care. Who could be against comfort care? Ladies and gentlemen, that, of course, is simply a phrase being used for killing people in America, and nothing's done. Cass, you go right ahead with the story.
Well, yeah, right now I've got this breaking news for everybody. I'm finishing my final version of the book Rigged, and I wanted to put in, you know, something astounding that no one could argue with much, and, you know, that would sweep the interest of even the most skeptical, unbelieving person. And I think we found it in the Obama regime. David Axelrod, you know, Zbigniew Brzezinski, reinstallation of a dictatorial regime. And they, you know, they're going to make mistakes, in that there's a certain amount of desperation in vote rigging, and it's difficult to track, but we've got some awful hardcore evidence now of not hardcore, absolute proof of rigging. Categorical. I mean, there's the mini rigging where they were switching votes, as you know, on the push button machines on the Ivotronic ESNS machine. That's pervasive in the swing states, massively pervasive. In Ohio, I talked to one of the boards of elections head down there in Allen County area, and he said, "Yes, we definitely have a person who walked into one precinct, voted once there, drove to another precinct, voted once there, and these are people voting for Obama. 99% of the time we found them voting for Obama. The Democratic machine encourages those kinds of votes." You know, the guy got caught on camera, Moran, saying, yeah, you know, if you can forge some documents and go in and vote, that'd be good. But so there's the mini vote rigging, which is the person voting 2, 3, 4, 5 times, which has happened all over the place in this country here, November the 6th. There's the more pervasive rigging in the machines, where they're pushing on the touchscreen machine, and 1 of 5 votes is going to Obama. Definitely, by the way. No question that happened right this election. And here's the bigger one. What we discovered is, when looking at the census, God help us, there are actually places where there is 100% of the vote compared to the census of potential voters, where there's 90%, 95%. We're not talking about registered voters. We're talking about the fact that the census in 2011 shows 2,000 voters in a ward that could vote. They're legal. They're 18 to being in the nursing home. They could vote, but is 100% of those people going to vote? How about 90%? Does anyone even have a half a brain left in our world?
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Dr. Cass Ingram, and he's written a book called Rigged, going into the fraudulent elections and simply pointing out that he's actually talked to people in Ohio who certainly have acknowledged that the people were multiple voting, driving from one precinct to another and voting in those precincts. But he's certainly pointing out that certainly in many of the precincts, they have a census. They know how many people live there, certainly, and who would be eligible to vote. But of course, they would all vote. I mean, certainly not just a matter of 90% or 95 or even 100% of the people who voted for Obama, but everybody in the precinct voted. Everybody in the precinct cannot vote. In fact, I've even heard, Cass, I don't know if it's true or not, but in some people, in some districts, in some precincts, there are more people voted than there were actually living in the precinct. But go ahead.
Yeah, there are. I've been looking at all those reports, and there are a vast number of them posted on the internet. I'm trying to confirm them with the boards of elections because you really do have to do that. And thus far, I have definitive proof of a district where there is 102% of the vote. But that's, somebody might say, well, that's not too bad. It's not registered voters, Dr. Stan. It's the census count. We're talking about 2,000 people are attributed by the census to live there that are 18 years of age to the later years. Not everybody's going to register. That's why they have registration drives. So let's presume that 50% of those people, 1,000, were registered to vote. Well, that would put my numbers at 175% of the registered voters went out and voted in this precinct, in this ward.
That is an amazing accomplishment, 175%. But people find it so difficult to believe. And of course, really what disturbs me most is that the Republicans didn't challenge the obvious fraudulent voting. Mitt Romney didn't challenge the obvious, certainly fraudulent voting. At least Al Gore back in the year 2000 challenged the corruption down there in Florida. But Mitt Romney has just been such a nice guy, and he even went to the White House to visit with his good friend Barack Obama today. And the American people just take it in stride, saying, gee, it's just a normal thing in the world. And Chris, what I've pointed out repeatedly, instead of talking about the fraudulent votes on November 6th, immediately after the November 6th election, we suddenly had a scandal involving a 4-star Army general having an affair with his biographer, a woman, and of course the married general having an illicit affair with this woman. And that was everything we were talking about for 2 weeks after the election, rather than the fraudulent nature of the voting. And the most amazing thing is they'd known about this for months ahead of time, and yet they waited until just after the election to use this as a diversion so that the average individual didn't even think or hear about that. All we heard about was General Petraeus, General Petraeus, yeah, General Petraeus, and then, of course, General Allen. But go right ahead.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. You're absolutely right that that's a setup of distraction. And, well, the other thing that I discovered definitively is that I went back to 2008, 2004 to see if there was a plethora of these 100% of the vote thing. You know, Obama's not as popular now as he was. I mean, that you'd have to be brain dead not to believe, understand that. There is no history whatsoever, and this was confirmed by an expert who looks at, for example, African American precincts, Larry Sabato. There is absolutely no history of this many 100% of the vote going to a single presidential candidate, no matter how popular or unpopular these individuals might be. Nothing. So that's an anomaly that has to be explained as fraud, you see. Now, here's the other thing. There are thousands of reports of everyday Americans who are mortified because they went in and pressed on the iVotronic machine and their vote was switched right in front of their nose. These sociopaths, these evildoers, they don't even care whether we see it or not, you know. Now here's the other one. Do you think that those Black Panthers were a sensible lot? No way. Very intimidating. You're not supposed to do that. White, black, yellow, or green, you're not supposed to stand there like some kind of sentry at the poll. An outsider can't do that. But, of course, in Philadelphia, anything goes, right? And for those who want to...
Other things, apparently there were a lot of instances where there were representatives of the Republican Party who wanted to go in as poll watchers, which you can do, sent in by the political party, and they weren't allowed to stay there. And in so many of those areas where the Republicans were not allowed to monitor the vote, it was 100% for Obama. I mean, basically, this is just unbelievable.
Yes. They physically... Now, we know that the Republican Party cheats. And we know that the Democratic Party cheats, so people just know that. We know that skin color is no if, white, black, yellow, green, purple, doesn't make a difference. But it's very true that we have to stand up for justice. The Republican monitors, independent and court-appointed, were ejected, some of them forcibly dragged out. You know why? Because they would have seen the fraud, that's all. Not because they were, unfairly placed. Because with absentee ballot fraud, you keep coming back with another absentee. Somebody gave you $50 for three votes. And the inner city is rife with this. And they target the inner city. They target the disadvantaged. They target the poor. They target people who are on alcohol. They target them. And they give them money and drugs. Remember smokes for votes in Milwaukee? Back in Gore's campaign. And they caught those Democratic operatives taking people to vote and then busing them back, and then they caught them on camera handing out cigarettes as the bonus.
And of course, the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, this should be a serious federal crime, and these people should be sent to prison for 5 or 10 years. Otherwise, of course, it means that the voting system is irrelevant. And the truth of the matter is, the voting system is irrelevant. It's all staged to make us think that we have a representative government, which we unfortunately no longer have. We need to get rid of the voting machines. In fact, I think it's in, I'm not sure, I think it's in Iceland, either Iceland or
Ireland. I was there.
When they actually picked up all the voting machines and crushed them, the electronic voting machines, because they know they can all be programmed.
They had 40 million euros in machines. I talked to one of the big guys in Ireland, because I did a little tour there. And he said, we don't use them anymore. They're unreliable. We put them in the junkyard. And in fact, they sold them for 60,000 euros, 40 million for 60,000. I want to also mention, our investigation is showing that in Milwaukee, in the city of Milwaukee, where the smokes for votes were, that's where that one weird precinct is. But also, we're finding that it doesn't matter. Skin color is not the issue for a race. We're finding precincts where 95 to 98% of the vote is still going to Obama, even though two-thirds of the voters are white. Now, I'd like to know how that's going to happen. I mean...
Well, you know it's not going to happen, honestly, but the thing is, Cass, I think it's so important that you get your book out, because we've got to draw the public attention to this. When will your book be available?
God willing, it's going to be out and available in January.
Okay, fine. Well, certainly we want to get you onto all of our programs over and over again. Well, the first thing we should be doing right now is demanding that they junk all of our electronic voting machines and simply point out that this was a fraudulent election. We may not be able to change the results of this election, but we can certainly be sure that they do not use the fraudulent voting machines again. And if they're fraudulent in Ireland, you can be sure they're fraudulent in the United States. And the fact that you're not reading about this in the New York Times, the Washington Post, Time Magazine, you're not hearing about this on ABC, CBS, or NBC, reflects the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you have a question or comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But I'm so pleased that Cass is writing a book on this and getting the information out. The information is there. It's certainly, we compiled a lot of it from various sources. It would be wonderful to have it all together in a book. Go right ahead, Cass.
Yeah, I mean, I delayed the book until January because of this election, to collate the last two chapters on the Obama machine, the Democratic machine. I've got a lot in there about the Republican, the central tabulator, the Ron Paul, the issues with the caucus states. But we're going to have two or three very strong chapters on the current events. Every kind of a report, every kind of a felony that's being prosecuted right now, there are a number of these individuals who've been sent over to the sheriff for investigation. The double, triple, quadruple vote fraudsters, the machine rig that's occurring throughout the swing state. And we hope to have a very powerful comparison chart of looking at, you know, what's happening in the inner city where no IDs are needed compared to areas where there are IDs required. I'll give you a quick one. There are five states that you had to do an ID, or one of them at least you had to show your registration for voting. But they wanted an ID. So four definite IDs, and then the other. All of those were won by Romney. All the states which required no ID were won by, the weakest ones were all won by Obama. I mean, they call it a win. These things cannot be anything. This is proof of rigging, that's all.
And ladies and gentlemen, we must understand that representative government means we have to have honest votes. We do not have honest votes in America. I don't know why we should be surprised. We've taken God, prayer, right, moral teaching out of our schools. Why should we be surprised when people are cheating in the elections, and why high government officials get away with it and nobody goes to prison? Our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Go right ahead, Cass.
Well, you know, back to some of the specific events. I called Ken Terry, you know, the director of the Allen County Board of Elections. He has three cases which they referred to the district attorney. Immediately, they were referred to the sheriff. So people, do you understand, this high level of scrutiny that all of you are doing, that you're posting on the Internet, that many of you should be calling the Board of Elections, you should be pursuing this is putting big pressure on the system. You need to ratchet it up. You know, you need to write blogs if you're a blog writer, but get your facts correctly. For example, the other day, I just want to help people. I reported something that would have been a huge anomaly, but they redistrict the precinct. So you have to kind of check and double check and double check. It's still an anomaly, but, you know, get your facts correct. Do the research and get the word out every way you can. Okay. The rigging that I've been able to collate, it's going to all be in one book, has shown something very simple, that the Democratic machine, David Axelrod and company, they specifically endorse double, triple, quadruple voting by single individuals. They specifically also endorse the use of money and Subway sandwiches, and smoke, you know, and alcohol to induce a vote from the disadvantaged and the impoverished. They target effectively the disenfranchised people in the inner city. Now, I just got another report. You know that only 20% of the drivers in Milwaukee City have a valid driver's license? It's a nightmare. And yet we're told that 95%, 98%, 85% of the voters in inner city precincts voted for Obama or for the election. It's impossible, people.
Well, no, does that certainly Milwaukee require some sort of identification?
Zero.
Okay.
And not only that, they even said when you bring your absentee ballot, the guy that runs the election department posted on the Internet, we're not going to ask you for anything. You just write down who you are on the absentee, sign it. Nothing else is required.
Well, now, how do they get the absentee ballots? Are these legitimate absentee ballots?
Yeah, they're legitimate absentee. But you see, that's how the Democratic machine is so powerful. The Republican machine is powerful, too. The Democratic machine, what they do is that they get these think tank nonprofit groups to go register people. And, you know, remember Acorn, where they registered the people for the Dallas Cowboys, and they were caught in Las Vegas registering football player names and all that. So they will register this way. They'll register fake names. They'll register, and then they'll give that fake name, the registration, to a voter give him $20, give him a pint of booze. That person goes in, fills in an absentee ballot with the fake address. They're on the registration, they're on the registration roll. They will register also, they'll register out-of-state people in areas that don't require IDs. And even busing up people from out-of-state, once they've got the registration rolls to give out, and so forth.
But hold that thought. Yeah. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Cass Ingram. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Cass Ingram. He's written a book. It's called Rigged. It's going to be out hopefully in January. And he's simply going into all the techniques that are used and how actually they'll certainly get homeless people, and they will give them the name of somebody who has been registered artificially as an absentee individual, and then they give them money or booze or whatever it would be, smokes, or certainly to go in and then vote on that absentee. Now, if you don't actually have to have an identification card to prove that you're who you say you are, it's a very easy thing to vote not once, but many times. And certainly Cass is mentioning the fact that they will actually bus people in from other states to actually vote. This is big business, and of course the federal government, of course, it does not prosecute the people, certainly, or ordinarily they don't prosecute people. I understood that certainly in Ohio after the Bush triumph there in 2008, why certainly there were three or four women who were actually indicted and actually convicted of voter fraud, certainly rigging the election so that George Bush would get elected, totally blocked out across America. Did you ever run into that story?
Yes, absolutely.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about
it? What they did was somebody must have threatened them that you better not say anything, because it just never got any deeper than that. But that's the sad part, is that the little person that gets tempted or taunted into doing it, or even some of them are just enthusiastic about Democratic Party or Republican Party, and they get involved, and they'll get arrested. I mean, for example, they discovered a ring of drug dealers in East Kentucky. This was major news. They've arrested those people. They've imprisoned them because they were giving they used $400,000 in drug money and gave $50 per person to get them out to vote for the Democratic realm there. But did it go any higher to the Democratic Party? No, just a couple of low-level party officials admitted it. They got them in the clink. The drug dealers are in the clink. No further than that. So I can tell you 1,000,000%, whether it's Sheldon Adelson's money or whoever's it was, or Haymes Saban, or the local fanatics, money was used to buy this election by inducing the impoverished, tempting them to vote. And now the other thing that was done this year that swung the election for Obama was the absentee ballot fraud. I know this is a lot of stuff throwing at your listeners.
But no, I want you to throw it out there. Go right ahead.
Okay. In Forest Park, Ohio, a northern Cincinnati suburb, the Moxley husband and wife team, they've been voting in person for 40 years. It's a tradition for them since they were 18. And so they go to the World of Deliverance Church. They try to vote, and the voter roll has it typed in there: you've already voted. You're voted absentee. You can't vote. They wouldn't allow them to vote. So they went to the media and said, this happened to us. The media then went down to the Board of Elections and confirmed that it was. The Board of Elections tried to slough it off, saying, well, somebody scribbled their name on incorrectly. No. They confirmed that it was printed in the voter roll that they voted absentee. Now, you know how that happens? Now, their vote was provisional, so it's unlikely that their vote counted. It didn't count for the election. That's terribly embarrassing for them, disconcerting. This is how this is done. The Democratic Party does this. The Republicans use a different way of rigging. If we have time, we've done that one before. What they do is that they call voters a lot of times. If the voter says, I am not sure if I'm going to vote, I might be out of town, they make a note of that. Or they look at the age, and they make a discriminatory, you know, selection on age or income level or demographics, and they say, let's just go ahead and fill out a faux absentee ballot for and have them vote the way we want them to vote. So they vote for them. And they get that way they've got a guarantee vote. So no matter, they'll go to the poll, and the poll will say fill out a provisional, and nobody will say a word. And this has been proven, you know, in, I think it was Troy, New York. In Troy, yes, Troy, New York. You remember those eight operatives who pled guilty for forging absentee ballots. And they won the election by like 40 votes.
And what happened to the people who put in the absentee, the phony ballots? Did they ever go to prison?
They are going to prison, and some of them are up for arraignment. But, yeah, but again, that doesn't go any higher.
My telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. How can we have a representative government when we have fraudulent elections? But why should we be surprised we have fraudulent elections when we've taken any moral foundation out of this society? And basically, we teach our young people in school, you decide what's right and wrong. And you tell me what a 15-year-old or 16 or 17-year-old is able to make adult decisions depending on what they want.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and we've got Bruce calling us from Spokane, Washington. Hi, Bruce. How are we doing?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, Dr. Stan.
Do you have a question or comment?
Well, I do have a comment. That's actually how I got involved in politics, is volunteering at the polling stations when we had polling stations here, and that was actually when people were supposed to physically come in and vote, and my first experience was not that impressive because I saw the same things he was speaking of. People did not have to give an ID. And when I asked for an ID, I was told by a supervisor that we're not supposed to ask for ID. And then when people came in with the same thing as he called a provisional ballot, we couldn't ask them. We couldn't ask for proof of where they lived. So it was the same thing. And then I left it behind after that. I just was disgusted.
Yeah.
And
you should be. Yeah.
Well, I did. And then later on, I became semi-involved in the Republican Party, and I was invited in to do a recount for a state representative who had lost by 75 votes out of 30,000. And I came in and did the count, and there it was before my eyes. You know, 16 people in the same house, the same name over and over again. And you could tell it was voter fraud.
Yes, that is.
We
absolutely
could not get anybody to prosecute. That was the whole thing that just made you screaming mad.
Yeah. No, we must have voter ID with backup, even utility
they
bill.
Won't. Yeah, and that's it. We've had a Democratic, an elections office auditor for 30 years here. And we can't, it takes a crowbar to get in the door, and we have some really good, responsible poll watchers and vote watchers that really watch them hard, but they're not welcome there, and they know it, but they still persist, and we're real thankful for that small little group.
Well, persist like mad. There is a revolution going on. The common man has saw vote rigging in front of his eyes with those iVotronic machines. This is an opportunity. If we look hard enough.
Thought.
Yeah.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we have Bruce actually on the line from Washington, Spokane, talking about the voter fraud that he's witnessed there. The fact that certainly because there's a Democratic fellow in charge of the local voting office, they do not require identification or proof of where you live. And Bruce, I hope you'll get the people up there organized. We can do some more programs there. We do have a good listening audience in Spokane.
Yeah, we do have a listening audience. We're back. We're down to mail vote. We're at mail voting now, the mail-in vote. That opens it up to another area of incredible
absolutely
fraud.
But what we need are a lot more people watching the way you are. And if you'd ever like to do a program on this, why give me a call off the air. We'll push you on some evening.
Well, I actually have somebody that's semi-professional that does it on a professional basis, and I'll invite them.
Well, you bring up something very important, the multiple voter in one address, up to 40, 50 different people, vacant lot voters and
right, yes, got those too.
And basically, Bruce, we've got to get this legal system with the voting system.
But nobody will, that's it, is nobody will prosecute. Justice delayed is justice denied.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And so what we need to do is get the people in the DA's office who will do what's right. And if they won't do what's right, then we get rid of them. And we do have a voice up there. You give me a call off the air, we'll put you on, okay?
All right, well, take care. We'll contact each other.
Keep carrying on. Yeah.
Okay, fine. Let's go to...
Do we have John calling?
We have John calling from Flint, Michigan. John in Flint, Michigan. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY.
Yeah.
1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-2295. John, do you have a question or comment?
Yes. I had heard that Obama's not even black. He's Polynesian. Three-quarters Polynesian and one-quarter white.
Well, I think that's, John, I think somebody's giving you phony information. Anything else you want to say?
And he's not even Christian. He's Muslim.
Okay, well, I wouldn't debate that issue.
I would basically point out
the fact that there is certainly nothing to suggest he's Polynesian. Why would you say something like that?
Because he was born in Hawaii.
Well, I see. Okay, fine. Well, thank you so much. And if you're out there in the listening audience, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-2295. And John says that Barack Obama is Polynesian because he was born in Hawaii to a white mother. Well, of course, it's pretty hard to make that Polynesian, and he claims his father was from Kenya. His father certainly is black. You look at Obama, you think he's black. But what they do, of course, they call in with a ridiculous statement. That was a ridiculous statement. And then, of course, then they tend to disqualify everything else they say. It's a standard technique. Why would somebody come on to our radio program and say that Barack Obama is Polynesian because he was born in Hawaii?
And the other thing is that one of the silliest things is Muslim. I mean, Muslim. If anybody had any common sense, they would see that the people in power are killing Islamic people like flies with drones and also killing U.S. citizens. I mean, it doesn't even make any sense.
Well, let's go. We have somebody calling from Central New York, and I suspect this is Dave. Is this Dave?
Yes, it is, Dr.
Okay,
Dan.
Fine. Go ahead. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes, I'm wondering what Dr. Cass is thinking in privacy of what's going to happen when the next 4 years comes around. What might the administration do or pull off, or what do you think they'll try to
do? It's just more of the same, my friend. And, you know, you make as much as you make out of it. So you carry on. Our freedoms have been pinched down over the last 200 years, if we ever had any. We've got to destroy this evil little by little. There's some liberty candidates that won this year. There are a lot more that want to win more. There's more of us than there are of them. So, I love being alive now because it is that information age. And now look, vote rigging's being exposed. So just, you know, I say focus on the positive and try to make as much happen as you can in your local area. You guys are more powerful than you know. Local. local activity.
And Dave, I think the most important thing is to start right now pointing out that the electronic voting machines can all be rigged and we ought to get rid of them. And over in Ireland, they junked every single one and we should junk every one here. Point out and keep talking about voter fraud. That's the one thing that they fear, is that the American people will wake up to the fact that our last three elections have all been fraudulent.
Yeah, prepare for the next elections. Get the whole community knowledgeable. Get them to do, they can join writeinrevolution.com. That's an option where they would learn to use an affidavit to back up their vote.
And demand that we have voter identification, and that we certainly would be a crime to take a poll watcher out, and that the political party should be allowed to send one, and anybody who has a poll watcher removed will be indicted and sent to prison for 20 years. We need to simply make the voter fraud a dangerous and significant crime. Anything else, Dave?
Yes, with today's technology, don't you think it's possible that all these voting machines, they talk about rigging them, may be operated from Washington through satellites?
Yes. Yes, they do have that ability in the central tabulator. But remember, they put 40 patches on in Ohio. So that's not so possible. What they do some local rigging of each individual machine by putting the software patch in there, or by having a little cell phone device and somebody's there and they're sending a message. There's a lot of election officials that are in prison, and we hired them to be on the Board of Elections.
Thing is, there's no way to be sure that any electronic machine is not rigged. That's why we need to get rid of all of them. That's what they've done in Ireland, and that's what we start talking about and talking about and talking about and going to the meetings and certainly go to the Board of Supervisors and demand, and pretty soon people are going to start listening to. And I hope certainly that Cass's book is as good as I think it's going to be, and certainly get this information out. They rigged the elections. We don't have a representative government. After a while, why are they going to be listening to you? Anything else, Dave?
That's right. No, it's happening. Yes. Just make it burn it. Go ahead.
What I'm hearing is the next election, from what I sense you fellows think, is not going to be an honest one. Is that true?
This last one wasn't an honest one. The 2000 election wasn't honest. The 2004 election wasn't honest. Why would we think that this election would be honest?
Exactly.
You need paper ballots and independent people watching them being counted on the night of the election. And if that's not done, then they'll rig the next one.
Okay, Dave. Go ahead.
Thank you much.
God bless. Bye. Thanks very much. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And Cass, do you have a website or some sort of information?
Yeah, we created that Write-In Revolution, which is for all candidates in the future, writeinrevolution.com, and they can see how that affidavit is so powerful. It gives you hope. We had a lot of, in this case, it was the Ron Paul write-in people and a few others, Gary Johnson voters here and there. But we're now demanding that every learned American never vote again without doing an affidavit.
Now tell me, tell me about the affidavit. I'm not acquainted with that.
The affidavit is known as res judicata. It rests as truth in and of itself. So we created this write-in revolution for liberty-minded candidates, that the voter would go ahead and vote, maybe cast an absentee or go in and vote in person. And as soon as they're done, they download the form off the website. They go and fill it out. If they've got a photograph of their ballot, if they've got a Xerox copy of the absentee, okay, I guess. But the main thing is they get the affidavit filled out, notarized, then they send it to us. And we received a number of those this year of concerned Ron Paul voters were concerned that their write-in vote would not be counted. But we'll be more prepared the next time. Let's say that a congressman that's going to knock him to the moon in California, but they're concerned they're going to rig him out. Well, he teaches his voters when he canvasses, I want you to back it up with the affidavit so your vote will count. And then we'll look at the Board of Elections publication, and then we have like a vote under perjury in our own hands,
okay, which it says.
Well, now let's talk a little bit about Ron Paul, because I think that they've rigged a lot of the state elections. I think that they certainly did everything they could to illegally to prevent Ron Paul's people from being heard or being represented. What actually happened with the primary for Ron Paul across the country?
They totally eviscerated him in three ways. They maligned and spread libel and slander against him to cause people to think he was a fringe or kook, which affected the vote count. That did not stop the momentum, so he won Iowa. All indication is that he won Iowa, so that they rigged that in the central computer, or just the GOP just looked at the numbers. We know for sure the GOP ballot stuffed and ballot removed in Iowa. I have the proof of that. It's in the book. And then the third thing they did was they infiltrated his campaign. You can't do centralized campaigns and win anything, people. It's not, that's not the way of the future. The way of the future is to walk the precincts. Don't let anybody know, you know, don't let any insiders or Washington, D.C. people come in your deal. Get your money privately and you'll win. If we can make sure the voting is done in a visible way.
And I think you're absolutely right. They obviously infiltrated Ron Paul's campaign. They infiltrated, I've repeatedly tried to get him onto our radio programs. There is no way, certainly we have a radio network with over 60 stations we had at that time. And yet, of course, there was just no way that there was any way that the people on his election committee would allow him to get on the nationwide radio. Now, why would that be? Well, very simply, I'm sure they've infiltrated his campaign exactly as they've infiltrated the offices of several United States senators and congressmen who have an important message, and they will not allow them, or they do everything they can do to block them from getting nationwide publicity. But why should we be surprised if these evil people would pretend to be one thing, infiltrate campaigns, and then use that position to sabotage the campaigns?
You saw all the horrible things that Wolf Blitzer and whoever else and that guy, Pierce Morgan, and all the snide and snickering and Stephanopoulos. And that had a monumental effect at turning off fickle voters. I was in England, and I said, yeah, I'm working hard on the Ron Paul, get some freedom and liberty. And it was a Jamaican African-American guy. He said, you mean that racist guy or that crazy racist guy? Well, you never heard them denigrating Romney or Santorum. They never were called unelectable. Look, Romney didn't even contest the fact that he was cheated. The only one that's got any statesmanship was the guy that they denied the American people an honorable candidate, a statesman, and a man who has economic experience that could have helped us out. These powerful individuals, you know, are so powerful that they overwhelm the will of the people.
That's because they control the media. When you control the media, you control the people. When you control access to information, and the media is tightly controlled in America, they try to make us think that we have conservative and liberal, and it's all a mirage. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Dr. Cass Ingram. We're talking about his coming book, Rigged, and we're talking about the rigging of the recent election. Once again, what is the website people should go to for information?
They can see what we've done. Some of the published assessments of rigging are on writeinrevolution.com. There's a donate button if you want to donate. We don't ask for it, but it's there. Our whole objective now is proving the rigging. So, hey, we could use some help. And so it's writeinrevolution.com. And the other one is libertyusapac.com. Those are where the articles are. I wish I could do more for you on the rigged. Rigged will be done. Some people are ordering it in advance, so I'll sign it and so forth. You can do that. That's 1-800-295-3737. I guarantee you, book. Yeah,
Cass, done. You always have to give the number twice.
Okay.
Always have to give it twice because people never get it the first time. One more time, what the number is?
1-800-295-3737. I'm just going to make the book 1995. 800. If you order it in advance, I'll pay your postage for you. So it's just $19.95 for all of you advancees. 1-800-295-3737.
Okay, fine. I think it's such an important thing that you have the information at your fingertips, that you study it, you start talking about it. You start talking now about how the election was rigged and demand that they get rid of your voting machines and demand that we have paper ballots and demand that we have people there watching those ballots being counted and that every precinct counts and posts the votes, and then we can actually make sure that those votes get down to the local county courthouse and are properly counted there. We cannot have a free society when we have rigged elections, and we're having rigged elections all across America.
That's right. And it only takes about 1 in 50 votes, one rigged vote for every 50 to swing every kind of an election you want. If you can pull off 1 in 20, you've got it in the bag. Look at this. In Houston, they always target this. See, the big thing is the targeting of the inner city. They don't have time to target. We've studied all the outlying areas. They focus the rig on big population. An 8-bed halfway house, 40 voters at its address, none of them legitimate. One person registered 6 times in one day with 6 different, registration cards, the same person, somehow thinking he was going to go to different precincts. And, you only catch 1 in a million of these people, you know. But this is done from D.C. down. This is not the common guy that orchestrates this. You know. These think tanks are in Washington, D.C. They strategize years in advance on how they're going to steal the election.
And ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to have a free society, we have to have free elections. And this last election was as phony as a $3 bill. And certainly, Romney wouldn't say that. The Republican Party refused to challenge it. They know what happened. They're in on this whole thing. And basically, I really tremble for my country when I reflect that what we are going to be 4 years from now after another 4 years of Barack Obama. Not that I think that Romney was that much better. I think that he was a man who certainly did not have the courage to stand up and say, this election was stolen. And whether he was threatened, I don't know. He was actually a lifelong liberal who was run as a conservative. And the average individual doesn't understand his positions on Agenda 21, his positions on sustainable development. He was always pro-choice until he was going to run as a Republican. Then he became pro-life, and certainly he was always pro-gay. This is the man that they ran against Barack Obama, and they had some excellent candidates they could have picked, but of course they didn't want any of them. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 464-8295. Hang on, Cash. We just got a few more minutes.
Sure.
Then I'll let you get some sleep.
Okay.
Well, Cash, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. So what's the message you want to leave with our listeners out across America?
You've got a big power in your hands, everybody. You should be doing a forensic examination of your area, of any cheating. Check the internet. Maybe you can put a document together and take it to the Board of Elections. Let them know you're watching. Let them know that the iVotronic machines have reports. I'm planning to serve one of the Boards of Elections if I get my data together before they certify. So you can do that, too. You can create a service, even after the fact, putting a document together and say you're put on notice and we don't want these secret vote counts anymore. So become an activist for freedom in our country. And here's how you get it. Free, absolutely transparent election, so that when we find somebody we love, we know he's a pretty good person, we get behind them, we spend our money, they don't cheat us out of that again. And that's what they do. And they do it well. So you just have to do it better. And little by little, we'll get the country back. But it'll take you to get out there and do it, like our guy out there in Spokane.
And basically, I want to point out that you can't trust either political party. Now, I said to you, oh, we may get suddenly some more honest people in the Republican Party, but we have a lot of crooked people in the Republican Party, too. People are going to have to get involved and realize that both parties are corrupt at the very, very top. And basically, there's not a dime's worth of difference between them. What we need to do, of course, is to find honest people to run for political office and then spend our time and our effort and our money to back them. Either that, or if we can't find anybody else to run, we do it ourselves. And
that's
I've done that a couple of times, and amazing experience. I just wish I'd known then what I know now.
I know, but it's fun to have this information age and for us to see the truth right under our nose now. We're going to publish this truth. We're going to publish all the gory details of both parties and how they cheat and connive and how it's just it's all, like you said, it's all a facade. There's no two-party system. It's a one dictatorial group that rubs each other's back.
And I think that is so important. Most people honestly believe we have a two-party system. No, we have a one-party system with two branches. Both parties, I believe, are certainly dedicated to globalism. Both parties are dedicated to big government. Both parties certainly are dedicated to the entitlement programs, and neither party was willing to say we're bankrupt. We've got to modify.
Only Ron Paul. And we will rue the day that we didn't get him in by all of us getting behind such a good man. But let me quote with another great man, Noah Webster.
Hold that thought for just a minute, and then we'll get the quotation here.
Okay.
Well, we'll go right ahead.
Noah Webster, the wise man of the Noah of Webster Dictionary, said, and I quote prophetically, "When you become entitled to exercise the right of voting for public officers, when you have that entitlement, let it be impressed on our mind that God commands you to choose four rulers." This is apparently biblical. "Choose those rulers, just men who will rule in the fear of God. The preservation of government depends upon the faithful discharge of this voting duty. If the citizens neglect their duty and place unprincipled men in office, the government will soon be corrupted. Laws will be made not for the public good so much, but for selfish interests and local purposes. Corrupt or incompetent men," this is 1880 or 1820, "corrupt or incompetent men will be appointed to execute the laws. The public revenues will be squandered on unworthy men, and the rights of the citizens will be violated or disregarded. If a Republican government fails to secure the public prosperity and happiness, it must be because the citizens neglect the divine commands and elect bad men to make and administer the laws, either by apathy or by consent. It's still up to us."
Beautiful quotation. God bless you, Cass. Thanks very much. Please keep
in
touch. And as soon as you get that book, let me know, okay?
I will do. Yep.
Thanks so much. Okay, fine. This is Dr. Stan, our guest Cass, Dr. Cass Ingram. Oh, delightful program. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. But this is a very real problem, and that is voter fraud. It's prevalent all across America because America is turned against God. And we either mobilize the people to do the right thing, or we lose America. Our telephone number, of course, if you'd like to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, 1-800-544-8927. You need to understand the spiritual forces that are at work. You, of course, need to get my talk on the dark secret, my talk on the forbidden secret. There's syllabuses with both of those. You need to get my talk on the world revolution, where you'll see my interview with Ambassador Smith, a multi-billionaire I interviewed back in 1980, the American ambassador to Cuba, when we intentionally brought a known, well-known communist to power. His name was Fidel Castro. And, of course, Ambassador Smith will tell you, we knew Fidel Castro was a communist, and he didn't win the revolution. We turned Cuba over to him. And, of course, why would we do that? Well, I don't think Ambassador Smith understood the close relationship between Fidel Castro and the Rockefellers. And, of course, if you haven't read David Rockefeller's memoirs, we do carry the book. It's called Memoirs. memoirs. And on page 405, David Rockefeller talks about the secret cabal he belongs to that's working against the best interests of our country and is dedicated to creating this world government. He talks about how his daughters go down regularly to visit Fidel Castro. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, David Rockefeller's daughters and Fidel Castro are great friends. Why would that be? Very, very simply. Because, of course, this whole idea of communism being the enemy is as phony as a $3 bill. Communism has been financed since its inception from the United States, just as Nazism was financed from the United States not only before, but during the war, and certainly American corporations, a hundred of them, were over there building the weapons for the Nazis that were being used to kill our boys, General Motors, GE, Ford. They were all over there, IBM, AT&T, Brown Brothers, Harriman Bank, Exxon, oil company. You need to get the books, America's Nazi Secret by John Loftus, who held a high position in the Justice Department and saw the secret files, America's Nazi Secret. Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution by Professor Sutton, and Professor Sidney Cuddy's book, The Power Elite and the Secret Nazi Plan. The Power Elite and the Secret Nazi Plan. They're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our provision and our protection. So again, our number 1-800-544-8927. We hope you'll join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and get our monthly newsletter and four best tapes. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is the 29th of November, a day to remember at the Power Hour. 29 November, 2012. It is Thursday, and I don't know if I have ever been as excited about a radio show as I am today. I think today will be a day to go down in infamy. We're getting to the issue of what is going on with the Israeli-Arab conflict. And helping us do that today will be someone who lived in Israel, lived, eat, slept, and breathed. Lived, ate, breathed, and slept this issue. His father was a general, highest-ranking general other than that with the State Department, highest ranking general that Israel had, who was involved in the 1948